Well, good morning, afternoon. It was morning when I stepped in here. It's now afternoon. It's good to see you. Well, exactly 1 year ago today at this time, I was waking up from open heart surgery. The old AAA is what they did to me. And thankfully, the Lord allowed me to stay. I remember reading the week before the national statistics, 1 in 10 don't make it. How'd you like to go get on an airplane and they tell you 1 out of every 10 goes down? That's a thoughtful moment. So, but I was ready. That was one of those as I shared with the congregation a year ago. That's when I couldn't lose. And so thank the Lord for that. You know, you heard about the people said, well, how was Cindy feeling about this? Well, I kind of showed her where all the papers were. And she said, "You, if you go, you mean I get that much money?" that's not quite accurate. She'll kill me if she's heard me say that. You heard about the guy that they went to the funeral and they heard this big story and everything, and they left, and a week later the lady who lost her husband at the funeral, they saw her out and she was on a date 1 week later after the funeral. So he turned to his wife and he said, "Honey, can you believe that?" She said, "Wow, that's something, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah. You know, honey, if I was to die, would you marry somebody else?" And she said, "Well, you know, honey, I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, well, would you let him stay in our house?" And she said, "Yeah, I probably, yeah. Would you let him wear my clothes?" "Well, you know, I might. I mean, I don't know, honey, for Pete's sake. So what about my bed?" "Yeah, well, I'm not going to get rid of the bed, honey." "Well, what about my golf clubs? Would you let him use my golf clubs?" She said, "Oh, no, no, he's left-handed." So, guys, you probably don't want to ask your wife that question. You might not want to do that. All right, so we're going to talk about evangelism by looking at a case study. And I want to draw down a couple of lessons for you about those whom we share the gospel with and what it means to share the gospel. So look with me, as I said last week, in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And Luke shares with us an event post-resurrection. So if I can just say one other word here before I read it. Jesus, we have recorded in the Bible, we have recorded and documented 13 appearances of Christ after the resurrection. Now, I think there were more than 13, but there are 13 documented in the Bible, either describing the appearance or someone else describing the appearance or detailing it. You know, for instance, it's Paul that tells us that while Jesus appeared at the Sea of Galilee, there were 500 people who saw him. So it's Paul who tells us that Jesus appeared to Peter personally. So some of them are by report. Some of them are by documenting the incident. Here is, on the very day of the resurrection, one of the documented appearances of Christ described in some detail. So look with me in Luke chapter 24 and slip down to verse 13. Now, that very day, that means the resurrection day, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near, and he went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, so now, by the way, their eyes were kept from recognizing him tells you what? He was recognizable, right? But they were kept from recognizing. In other words, if God sovereignly, for his own purpose, had not kept them from recognizing him, they would have recognized his glorified, resurrected body. So they were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? So beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, let's stop there about this event, and let me draw out a couple of things for you. First of all, let's look at the situation. It's the day of the resurrection, the third day. Jesus is risen. What has transpired already? Well, the women who had come to the tomb have been to the tomb. They were coming to anoint him with spices. And they had seen, note the plural, the angels. There were two of them. And they did not see Jesus, though. And that's consistent with the other texts. But they didn't see Jesus, but they did see the angels, and the angels informed that he was not in the tomb, that he was risen, and that he was alive. So they went away and told the disciples. That also bears out with Matthew and Mark and Luke in the other passages, and John. Then it says that someone of the 11 went to see him. It's obvious that these two are numbered with the disciples, not the 12, but the 70. These would have been some of the next concentric circle of disciples. These two, Cleopas and the other one that's not named. Some people actually think the one not named is Luke himself. But that's ultimately speculation. So then they And then they record that they went there and they found it just like the women said, faithful account. No one was there, angels, but Jesus isn't. And then they left and with the message that he is risen. So they said, now here's what we know. There's this Jesus whom we followed and who was mighty in word and deed sent from God. He was crucified by the chief priests and the rulers. So that would have been encompassing not only Jewish rulers, but the Roman rulers. So he was crucified by them. And so we just don't know what to make of this. And it says they were looking down. Their eyes were cast down, literally. And then they go on to say they had a slow heart. And then it goes on to say they did not recognize him. Then it goes on to say that he then evangelized them. He gave them the gospel. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer and die and be raised? There are the essence, the essential issues of the gospel. So he brings the gospel message to them. Then he begins to disciple them. So now for those of you at Briarwood, remember our ministry theme is what? Lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. Note how Jesus doesn't separate the two. He gives the gospel message and then he starts discipling. In fact, wouldn't you like to have been in that small group discipleship? Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained himself in all the scriptures. I would love to have heard that synopsis of the 39 books of the Old Testament, all pointing to him. And so, and I don't know how long that discipleship lasted, but it lasted all the way to dark. And then they're wanting to have a meal. And Jesus acted as if, or his actions showed that he was about to move on. They said, no, don't do that. Stay here. And then what does he do? He then sits down with them and they have a meal and there is the breaking of the bread. Then what do? They recognize it. It says there, while he was breaking the bread, their eyes were opened and they realized who it was that was talking to them. The one that they had been talking about in the scriptures and the one who had gone to the grave and been raised, here he is. And then they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Then what did they do? They got up and they left and they went and told somebody. Now, they've got a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. They get up and go tell somebody. So now we've got multiplication and mobilization. Here's Jesus, two. Now, the two go tell others. Okay? So I want you to see the picture here of this lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. He shares the gospel, then he starts discipling. Then they do what? Gather together. Then they do what? Sacrament. The breaking of the bread. Then they do what? They worship him. Then they do what? They scatter to go tell others. That's what's supposed to be happening with us every week. People came to us with the gospel. We're being discipled. We gather with God's people. We worship and praise the Lord. We even enjoy the sacramental meal that Jesus has provided for us in the Lord's Supper. And then when we scatter, we go do lifestyle evangelism and discipleship. We go tell others. So you see the whole picture right here in this account. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Their eyes, their heart is closed. Their eyes are closed and their mind is closed. They're confused. They're not thinking straight. They don't see him. And their heart, they themselves say, our heart was slow. Our heart was slow of heart. Their eyes were downcast. They didn't recognize him. Their eyes were to the ground, literally. And they were slow of heart. And they did not understand. Their mind was clouded. They didn't have clarity. Then Jesus evangelizes and disciples, and he opens the scriptures. And when he opens the scriptures and he shares the gospel, Then he begins to disciple them, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded as he opens up all the scriptures to them. Then he sits down at the table with them, and their eyes are open, and their mind was opened, and their heart went from slow heart to burning heart. Did not our hearts burn within us? So, brothers, that's what we get the opportunity to do in evangelism every time we do it. So what's your first thing? Here's what you need to know. People unaided by the sovereign grace of Christ are going to have closed hearts, closed minds, closed eyes, and closed lives. That's our natural condition. Closed heart, closed mind, closed eyes, closed lives. And that always leads to discouragement and depression in life. It always leads to a dead-end life of despair. So that's what I want you to know about everybody that's out there that doesn't know Jesus. And what they need is for somebody to tell them about Jesus and do what? Open the scriptures. And you always start with the first things. Remember when Paul said, I deliver to you that of first importance, the gospel? So where do you start teaching the Bible? You start teaching it the gospel. Who God is. Who I am. What did Jesus do? He went to the cross. He suffered. He died. He rose again. And when you come to Him by faith and repentance, you have eternal life. You start just like Jesus did with them. You start at the gospel. And then you do what? You take the gospel into all the Bible, teaching them to observe, teaching them all the scriptures, Him as He explained Himself in all the scriptures. And all the scriptures point to Jesus. I think I've used the illustration. The scriptures are like the sweaters my grandmother used to knit. If you get a pick in the sweater my grandmother used to knit, don't pull the pick. If you pull the pick, you don't have a sweater. You got a ball of yarn. It's just one thread. That's the way she made the sweater. That's the Bible. Wherever you open the Bible and pull in and pull out, pull the pick, it's about the glory of the triune God through the preeminence of Jesus as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. That's the thread throughout all the scriptures. So beginning with Moses, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And with all the prophets, the former prophets, Joshua up to Jeremiah. And then the latter prophets, Jeremiah to Malachi. Beginning with Moses, with all the prophets and the Psalms, he explained himself in all the scriptures. That all of that pointed to him. That's why he would tell Timothy, continue in the things you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Well, what sacred writings did Timothy study as a child that pointed to Jesus and salvation? The Old Testament. So the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed in Jesus. So that's what you and I have before us. So we take the gospel, then we disciple people into all that Jesus has given us, into His Word. And we gather God's people in worship so that the means of grace, including the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper and the preaching of the Word and prayer and fellowship, are all employed. Why? So that people will see Jesus. Not us, but Jesus. And know Him and have eternal life. And when they see Jesus, what happens? Closed heart becomes an open heart. Closed mind is an open mind. Closed eyes become open eyes. And what's the key? Open the scriptures. So the guys, let me ask y'all a question in conclusion, so you can have some good discussion time today. The people that you know that don't know Jesus, let me go ahead and tell you. Mind is closed. There is none who seek Him, no, not one. heart is closed to Jesus. Eyes are closed to Jesus. Mind, eyes, heart, all closed. Life closed and downtrodden, looking down. There's no hope. And everything they go to for hope, that sin keeps saying, here is hope and joy. They go to it, and guess what? No hope, no joy. Therefore, they are dissipated. Therefore, they're coming apart. Now, what do you want? Well, you want their heart to be open, don't you? You want their eyes to be open, don't you? You want their mind to be open, don't you? You want their life to be open, don't you? But here's your problem. You can't open their eyes. You can't open their heart. You can't open their mind. You can't open their lives. But you can open the Scriptures. And when you open the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit uses that to open eyes, open minds, open hearts, and open lives. You can open the Scriptures and start with the gospel and then lead them to this Savior and to all that is there. Now, Harry, will they all come to the Savior? Absolutely no. Romans 10 says this. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear him without a preacher? But Lord, not all have believed our report, Isaiah says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. In other words, guys, not everybody's going to believe, but that's not your job. Your job is not converting. We plant, we water, with the open Bible and prayer. God causes the increase. Only God can do it. But that's our job, is not conversion. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is evangelism. But how does the Holy Spirit convert? He converts with the Word. So you open the Scriptures and by the Spirit bring it to men and women. And encourage you to maybe listen to the, if you don't come to Briarwood, you might want to listen to some of the sermons on Sunday night about bridge building, to bring the bridge to life to people to take a look at. But this is, here's Jesus. You see our bridge building on Sunday night, those of you that are coming? Conversational evangelism. Personal relationship. An event. Let's have a meal. And he starts pulling all of these things together. Hospitality. It's all coming together whereby he gives the gospel to them. And then the Lord brings them with an open heart, an open mind, an open eyes, and an open life when he opened the Scriptures. Only Jesus can open the mind, heart, eyes, and life. But Jesus has given you both the responsibility and the ability to open the Scriptures to bring to men and women. All right, so I think you got some things to talk about. I'm going to let you talk about them. Let me pray for you, and then Eric and I, while you pray and discuss, we'll be bringing your meal to you as it comes out. And sorry for last week. A few of you didn't get to eat till about 2:30 in the afternoon. We'll try to make it a little quicker this week. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be with my brothers. And thank you for the privilege to enjoy this meal and our fellowship and praying together and talking through all of these issues that are before us. Thank you that you put us in the place where we can open the Scriptures by which you, Holy Spirit, open eyes, hearts, minds, and lives. Now, Father, help us discuss this, encourage each other, challenge one another, and Father, help us be your instruments so we are those who, every one of us, every day, is evangelizing everybody, everywhere. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, read the rest of Luke 24 and read Acts 2 for next week. All right? The rest of Luke 24 and Acts 2, and we're going to talk about when you open the Scriptures, what exactly do you share and how do you share it? And we're going to learn from a guy that did a pretty good job. His name was Peter. All right? We've seen Jesus. Now let's go take a look at Peter. We'll do that next week. All right? So Luke, the rest of Luke 24 and then Acts chapter 2.